5, we have been looking for the last several sermons on the coming of Christ, and that theme kind of carries over here into chapter 25, and what I want to focus on today is really being prepared, and not only being prepared for the coming of Christ, not only being prepared for when death knocks at our door, but being prepared for all the opportunities that God puts in our life. I'm a big believer in preparation. I believe that separation is in preparation, is where what separates those people that get things done from those that don't, and those that fulfill all that God has for them and those that don't. And so we need to be preparers today. Matthew 25, verse number 1, it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy of yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" Let's pray. Father, we bow before you today. And God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that you've shown us. God, we do pray, Lord, that you would just be with us today as we look into your word. And God, we believe in the power of your word that it's able to change and transform our lives. And God, I pray for each one of us here today that we would be preparers. God, that we would prepare for the things that we want. Lord, that we wouldn't procrastinate, that we wouldn't put it off for another day, because as the scripture said, we don't know the day or the hour in which you'll come. God, help us to be prepared when you come, and Lord, give us our opportunities to be used of you. Lord, we just want to say we love you today. We thank you for your love to us, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we read this story to us, this story doesn't make any sense, because this story is of this wedding and this company of virgins that are sitting here, these bridesmaids, if you will, that are waiting for this wedding. We just don't know about it because we don't do these type of things in our culture. But what was going on in this day and time, and as Jesus spoke to them, these folks really understood that when people would have weddings or the wedding was near, they would kind of call these parties, if you will. And the bridesmaids would come and they would kind of gather together, and it would be this extended party that would last somewhere, sometimes even up to a week. And that's what was going on in this story. These 10 women were there, and they're waiting on the bridegroom to show up. And he could show up at any time, and when he would show up, they would go in, they would have the wedding, and it would be a big deal. It was kind of just something that they did in their culture. Now, also in that culture, that they could come out at any time, it was not permitted that people be walking on the streets without lamps that were lit. And so goes the story that here these virgins are. There's 10 of them. There's 5 that are wise, and there's 5 that are foolish. 5 have their oil in their lamp, and 5 are ready to go at a moment's notice, and the other 5 don't have any oil in their lamps. And so when the bridegroom shows up and it's time for the wedding and they'll be able to go in, these five foolish virgins say, hey, give us some of your oil. And they say, no, we can't do that. There might not be enough for all of us. And so you got to go and buy yours and you get ready. And while they went to go, they went in and had the wedding and it's too late. And they come back and say, let us in. And say, no, we're not going to let you in. It's too late. So the moral of our story today is being prepared versus procrastination. And I think all of us can understand and hear today a little bit about procrastinating. Amen? Does anybody in here ever procrastinate on anything? I think everyone would say amen. That would be us. As someone said, why do today what we can put off for tomorrow, right? I mean, there's no need to do it today. We'll just get around to it tomorrow. Well, the problem with that might be fine if you're talking about cleaning out the garage or the shed. But when we're talking about spiritual things, it's not fine and it's not good. And in fact, it's a dangerous thing. And so what we want to talk to us a little bit about today is about preparing. And not only that, but when I look at this story, I see a couple of things that are significant about making preparation from our text. Number one is this: there are some things that you cannot wait to the last minute to do. I think about taking tests. You might not study and you might not prepare, and you go in there and it's time to take the test. They throw the test down on the paper, on the table, and they say, get ready. You say, well, I'm not ready. Doesn't matter if you're ready. It's time to take the test. And there's no more time to study. There's no more time to prepare. It's time now to do it. And so there's some things we can't wait to the last minute to do. And then I also see about these five foolish virgins asking for the oil of these others. There's some things you can't borrow. You got to have it yourself. You've got to own it yourself. And there's going to be some things in when we're looking at this preparation and we're talking about the things of God that you cannot borrow. So let's look at some things today that we need to be prepared for and how we need to go about doing it. The first thing is this, and it's the obvious one of today. In verse 13, it said, watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about the coming of Christ. And we went over it week after week, how there's nothing keeping Jesus Christ from coming back today and rapturing the church out of here. And some people might say this, well, if the rapture happens and I'm not saved and I'm not a follower of Christ, can I get saved in the rapture? And you can. I mean, it's saved in the tribulation. You can. But it's going to be an awful time. You know, I'm teaching through Revelation in over there at the school, and we've been talking about the mark of the beast and how the Antichrist and the false prophet's going to make people take this mark. And somebody said, well, what happens if you don't take it? And I said, well, they're going to kill you. They'll do away with you. And so you say, well, I'll get saved when the tribulation comes. Well, the other thing is maybe you won't. Maybe you won't. The Bible says that in the last days, that the devil will send a delusion that, man, it'll deceive even, it would have even deceived the elect's sake if it wasn't for God's grace. And so you might think, oh, I can get saved anytime. But let me tell you this about salvation. Salvation is not an option. It is an opportunity. Amen. We don't just get to decide whenever we want to get saved. You don't just go up one day and say, hey, I think I'll decide to follow Jesus. Because the Bible says this, there is none that seeketh after God. There's none that understands, no, not one. And what that means is this, that me in myself, in my flesh, apart from God and His grace, I would never seek Him out. I would never say, just in myself, man, let me go find God. Let me get up with Him. Let me follow Him. That would never happen. It only happens when the Holy Spirit of God stirs within us and draws us. The Bible says this, that no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. God's got to open your blinded eyes. And he's got to begin to stir within you and draw you and pull you to him. And in that moment, we have an opportunity to pledge our allegiance to Jesus Christ and to get saved and to be forgiven of our sins. But that opportunity don't come all the time. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, let me say this for those of us who are saved today. I can only speak for myself, but I'm sure some of you have the same experience. I remember at times when I was lost that God would convict me and say, hey, it is not well with your soul. You have not done business with me. You have not given your life to me. And I'd be under conviction that I'm not saved. And you know what I would do? I would say, I want this feeling to go away. And I want this feeling to pass by, man. And that conviction, I might would hold on, and that conviction would pass by, and then I'd go on about living my life. That conviction was what we call that opportunity. And as we let it go by, we don't have it anymore. And so the Bible says this too. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Because it says that because there may be days and there may be time where he can't be found. You see, salvation is an opportunity. It is not an option. And for those of you who think, I'll just wait till I'm on my deathbed. Man, you like to cling on to the story of the thief on the cross where he cried out on the cross, hey, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's great for him. But I don't know if it'd be like that for you. You know, there's some people who die like this. I mean, hey, the snap of a finger and life is over. There's things that happen to people. You know, we was talking outside about the NASCAR race last week. Y'all see how versatile I am? I can talk about a NASCAR race. But man, they had a big wreck, and that guy could have died right there. That'd be it for him. No more opportunities. No more chance to give your life to Christ. So if I was you, I wouldn't wait to the last minute. I'd go ahead and make that preparation now. You know, I read last week of a testimony of a chaplain was at an elderly lady's deathbed, and he said he was talking to her, and he said, "Ma'am, I just wanted to talk to you about eternity." She said, "I didn't wait till this late to make those preparations. In other words, I've settled that a long time ago, and I've been ready for this day a long time before now." And I would just encourage us to make those preparations a long time before we ever have to face our deathbed. Also, I would say before the coming of Christ, I'd be ready. You know, I don't want to go to heaven today because I've got a wife and children to raise and to be with. And Lord knows we don't want to leave Laura with the seven children by herself. And so I want to be here. But if Jesus come back today, I'm ready. And if he decided to take my life today and say, hey, Derek, it's enough time for you, you come on to eternity, I'm okay with that because I'm ready, because I've made the preparations for all eternity through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I'd also say this too. You can't borrow on my preparations. You know, if Jesus come back today, you can't say, Derek, give me a little bit of that. Hey, give me some of that oil. I'm going to go to heaven with you. No, I'm sorry. You got to prepare on your own. If we die and stand before God today, and he says, we're going to look to see who's entering into the kingdom, you can't say, Derek, give me a little bit of that so I can get in. No, you can't borrow this. You have to own it yourself. Salvation is personal. Salvation is something you must have. You must own it. You must possess it. There's no borrowing. There's no getting in on anybody else's coattails. There's no, the unwise aren't, you know, some people think this, man, how convenient would this be? They think, when we get to judgment, there'll be another chance. Well, hey, if he gives us another chance right at judgment, I think, well, I'll make it in because we'll say, hey, let me get in on somebody. There ain't going to be no other chance. And there ain't no time to borrow. There ain't no time to prepare. You better be ready when that day comes. You know, then I think, too, about other things we need to prepare for. Eternity is the obvious one. But I think about how preparation is so important when it comes to our relationships in this life. That I've got to prepare And the things I want to have in life, I have to prepare for those things. My relationship with God, with my spouse, with my children, the person who I want to be, my character. I was listening last night to a podcast about, was interviewing this preacher, and he talked about how he kind of put some safeguards in his life. So he's talking about moral failings in the church and some things he does. And he said, some people will say, well, are you that weak that you need to keep some things away from you because you'd fall? He said, well, I am that weak, but I'm also trying to be that wise that I keep those things away from me. And so you might want to be wise today. Who wants to be considered wise? Who wants to be considered strong? Who wants to be a leader today and impact others and influence others? Well, I want you to know that to be able to have those things, you've got to prepare for those things. You don't just wake up one day and be wise. You don't wake up one day and say, well, I'm gonna be a leader today. I'm going to impact and influence other people. You say, what are you getting at, Brother Derek? Well, you've got to do these things day by day. In other words, every day you got to prepare for that. Every day. You know, I talk about relationship with your children. I can't wait. I mean, here they are. They're all different ages. I can't say, well, let's wait till we're late in life and they're grown. And now I'm going to have a relationship with them. Now I'll spend some time with them. Now I'll worry about their soul. Now I'll worry about them growing up to be the person that I want to be. No, I have got to make those preparations now. And by the way, there have been those that have not done it. They have not done those things, and they get older and their kids are grown, and they say, why don't I have the relationship with you that I'd like to have? Well, the reason why is you didn't prepare then, you know? And let me tell you what, it's about little things, small preparations. You know, and I'm going to apply some physical things here that apply in a spiritual sense and being the person you want to be. Some people, and this isn't mumbo jumbo, by the way. Don't think it is. But I think you ought to be the person you want to be today. You say, well, some of you today, let me just tell you, some of you aren't close to God today. You're not spiritual. Nobody would look at you and say, hey, you're a spiritual person and you're a spiritual leader and I want to ask you for your advice. You're not that day. But here's what I tell you, you ought to do today. You ought to be that person today. And you say, what do you mean? Well, you ought to come to church today. You ought to read your Bible today. You ought to pray today. You ought to serve God today. And here's the secret. If you do that every day, one day you'll wake up and be that person you wanted to be. One day you will be that spiritual person people look to. One day you will be that. And here's the physical application. You know, if I want to get in physical shape, I want to be in good shape. And you say, well, I'm not today. That's good. You know what you need? You know what you got to do today? You got to eat good today. You got to exercise today. Even when you're not, right? And here's why people don't do it. They eat good today. Man, they ate a salad. I hate salads, amen. Who else is it with me? Amen, hate salad. I heard someone said he was on a diet. He started putting lettuce on his cheeseburgers. I like that. You know, just he thought that was getting healthy, putting some lettuce on the cheeseburger. But you eat good one day and you look in the mirror and say, this isn't working. I look the same as I did this morning. It doesn't happen in a day. It happens day by day. It happens day by day. And some of you, you read your Bible today. You came to church today. And listen to me. You came to church today. You said, I'm going to do good today. Good. That's good. And you go home. And man, you're around your people and your family, and man, you said, and they say, we don't care that you went today. We don't care that you read the Bible today. But what would happen if you did it for the next 10 years? You know what they'll say? They'll say, oh, now a change has been made. It has to take consistent day by day preparation. If you're sporadic with what you're doing, then you're never going to get the results that you want to get. I try to tell people this about saving money. I've talked to people about saving money and dealing with their finances. Well, you know, when you pastor, did y'all not know I'm also a financial advisor and everything else? I've had people come to my office and bring all their bills and their budget and say, help me. And I'm thinking, I'm not the guy, right? Why would you do that? But here's the thing. Listen to this. Now, you might not be able to do this, but what if you could save $100 in a week? Now, you say, oh, I can't do that. Well, what if you could? And then by the end of the month, you'd have, right now you have no money. And at the end of the month, you'd have $400. And at the end of the year, you'd have $5,200. And keep doing that math, right? What if you did that for 10 years? And then what if you did it for 30? Okay? And so it's little by little preparing to have these things that we want to have in life. And so here's what I would say. If you want to be spiritual, you want to have a relationship with your kids, you want to have a great relationship with your spouse, you might be here today and say, my relationship with my spouse not very good today. Not where I want it to be. Make it good today. And then when you get up tomorrow, do the same thing. And you'll wake up a year from now and 5 years from now and say, hey, we are where we want it to be. Some people aren't wired for the grind. They're not wired for the day by day doing these things. And so I would say this to you today. Number one is fuel up. Fuel up on the things that you need. Fuel up on the things that you need to have the things you want. Then I would also say this about what I want to do. Some of you would say this. Well, Brother Derek, I'd like to witness to people. I'd like to take an invite card and invite somebody to church, but I just don't really have the opportunity to do it, and I don't know. I'd like to serve the Lord. I'd like to work for Him. I'd like to do all these things. Have y'all ever heard this saying that luck comes to those that are prepared? Some people say they're lucky. I say they're prepared, right? And I would say this, if you were wanting to witness to people and you were looking for opportunities to witness people, you know what I kind of think will happen? I think you might get some opportunities to witness to people. If you were looking for some way to serve God and you were wanting to do that and you were actively searching it and actively being that, you know what I think might would happen? I think you would find some time and you would find some opportunities to serve Him. That's what would happen. So it happens to those who are prepared. Now, two things and we'll be done. Number one is, what's keeping me from being prepared? What's keeping me from getting prepared? Maybe it's that you're bitter about some things. Maybe you've been hurt before. Maybe you've tried before and failed. Anybody been there? You know, you tried before and failed. And because you've tried before and failed, here's what the devil will say. You'll come and hear a message like this, and the Holy Spirit will say, he's talking about you. You need to get prepared. You ain't doing the things that it takes. And you say in your mind, I'm going to start. And the devil says, you've tried before. Just go ahead and forget this sermon. Go ahead and forget about preparing. You'll never be the person you want to be. You'll never have the marriage like that. You'll never have a good relationship with your kids. You'll never be able to serve God. You'll never be able to do all those things. You can't let the fact that you've tried before and failed stop you. There's been plenty of people who've tried before and failed and got up and did what they wanted to do. You know, I would say get back up on the horse today. I would say make a commitment to do it today. And let me tell you a little secret. If you fail on You say, man, you did good today, and you did good Monday, and you did good Tuesday, and you did good Wednesday, and then you mess up on Thursday. You know what you need to do? You need to do good on Friday. Don't let Thursday turn into 2 weeks and 2 months and 2 years, and now you've done, went through it. So I don't know if you got that bitterness or that hurt. Maybe it's just straight laziness, that we're just not committed to doing what we got to do, and we won't do it. And I would say, you know what I think it is for a lot of us? It's just distraction. You're distracted by other things. Instead of doing the things that you know you need to do, you're distracted by everything else. We live in a very distracting world, okay? We live in a world that is fast-paced. It's got. I'm guilty of it myself. You know, I can't really talk about the kids. Y'all know these kids today, they say they have to be constantly stimulated. And I talk about that. That's kind of how I am. Like I even try to tell myself, like, hey, you know, but we get distracted. And let me ask you this question. Now, some of you might can relate, but a lot of you won't be able to. Like, when was the last time that you were bored? And what I mean by that, like that never happens to me, because I always got something to do. We got something going on, and it ain't like I'm ever sitting around like, what are we going to do? Right? Well, we're too distracted sometimes to do the things we need to do. So get focused on what you need to do. So what's keeping me from it? And then what are some things that I need to do to get prepared? What must I do? Two things. Number one is you have to today commit that you're going to intentionally do the things it takes to prepare to have the things you want to have. You know, we want to go to heaven. Well, I got to do the things it takes to get there, which is give my life to Christ. I want to be spiritual. Well, I got to do the things it takes to be spiritual. I want to be an example to my family. Well, I got to do the things it takes to be that example. Right? And you've got to be intentional. I say this all the time. Any time is no time. Any time is no time. Oh, I'll get around to it. Yeah. Yeah. You'll get around to it. About like we get around to going to the gym, or we get around to cleaning that shed, or we get around to doing whatever else we got to do. You've got to be intentional about it, and then you've got to invest in those things. I said this earlier about some things you got to do and investing in that. You know what I would say too? Be around the people that you want to be like. There's some people that say, well, I want to be a good person, but hang around nothing but bad people. Amen. Doesn't work. Some people say, well, I'd like to have a good marriage, and I'd like to have a good life, and I'd like to have, you know, a good family and all that. I'd like to be spiritual, and they don't hang out with anybody that does those things. It's been said like this, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And how true is that? My basketball coach in high school used to say, if your friends go to church, you'll go to church. If your friends go to jail, you'll go to jail. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Surround yourself with people that are going to help you, that are going to help you be what you want to be. And here's the secret today to being prepared. You know, these five virgins, what's funny is you got five wise, five foolish. Five were prepared. Five had the oil. The other five didn't. They were all sleeping when the bridegroom came. It said they all slept and slumbered. But boom, the bridegroom came, and five were prepared and five were not. And so we need to be those people when the opportunity comes, when the things happen in our life, that we're prepared. Here's the secret today, and this is hard to do. Be the person you want to be today. Be that person today. People will doubt you. They will say you're not real. They will say you're fake. They will say, oh, we'll see. We'll see how you do in a week. We'll see how you do in 2 weeks. This is just a flash in the pan. You won't be back. But you got to be that person today. And then you got to get up and be that person tomorrow. And you'd be in the next day. And you'd be in the next day. It is. That's what Solomon said. He said, little by little, a man's wealth is built. And little by little, our lives are built. And we become the people that we want to be. Amen? So, get prepared. Prepare for eternity. Prepare for the life that you'd want to have. Prepare for the opportunities that you want to have and see in your life. Be prepared for when they happen and when they come. Get prepared today. Get busy doing the things that we must do. Why don't you stand with us today?